We're going to move a little bit more quickly now that we kind of know the pattern that we've been going through. I am all about sticking to a same routine. I wake up at the same time every morning. I drink the same kind of coffee. I drink it out of the same mug. I sit in the same chair. I always preach out of the same Bible. I always study scripture using the same pattern. And what I found is that when you get into a pattern like this, it really helps understand what scripture is saying. And so we've known, as we've gone through this, we've kind of practiced that we are going through a three-step process to understand these passages. And the James 1, 1 through 8 will be up on the screen here in just a minute. But the three steps that we've been working through are what? The first step is observation, and that is what the text
says.
The second step is
interpretation.
Interpretation, that is what the text
means.
And that's what the text means in context. The third step is
application.
And application is what the text
means for me.
Means for me. Not means to me, but means for me. Okay, those three steps we're going through. Let's read James 1, 1 through 8. And then we will briefly review what we've been talking about in verses 1 through 4. And then we'll do 5 through 8 this morning. Let's pray first. Father, as we look into this passage, I pray that you give us wisdom, give us insight, help us to understand what you'd have for us. Father, I pray that you'd continue to use your word to help us understand who you are, that we believe the truth and so live the truth. In your name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It's on the screen. Let's read it together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James, the brother of Jesus, who is a slave of God, realizing that Jesus is also God, relinquishes his control to them. He's writing to these Jews which have been dispersed, part of the dispersion, because of persecution into the mountains, running for their lives under the threat of death, under great persecution and great suffering. They're his fellow Christians. He tells them in their perspective that they need to view these trials as joy, and then he builds a case as to why they should do that. All these various, diverse trials that are coming into their life, first of all, they know that this trial, this testing of their faith, produces in their life patient endurance, and it for them to bear up under these hardships and the fact that it purifies their faith and it produces patience. But their response to these things needs to allow this patience, this culmination of trials, work in their life, that it would develop something in their life, that they would be mature. That means that they would be brought to their total purpose that God has for them, that they would be fully complete in their spiritual life, not lacking anything. And we understand that this word want right here is the word lack. It draws us to understand what he's talking about in verse 5, because he says, and if any of you lacks wisdom. Remember, the words that we're keeping in our mind are that our trials have purpose. It's our perspective on these trials, and that these trials have a purpose that God is doing in our lives. Observation, what does the text say? If any of you, any believer, lacks wisdom. What kind of wisdom? This type of wisdom would be a wisdom that would be the wisdom to understand that trials are coming in your life for your benefit, if that's hard to understand. Let him ask. There's a command. Let him ask God. He doesn't ask books. He doesn't ask his experiences. If you're lacking wisdom, you need to seek God to give you the answer to that wisdom, because God gives it to all men liberally. This word liberally is really interesting. It means generously. However, this word liberally is the only time that this word is used in the entire New Testament, okay? And what it means that God will give without second thought. He'll give it at his first priority, single-minded, without mental reservation or hesitation. It's like when you go and ask, God says, of course I'll give it to you. It's like somebody who's really thirsty and you've got 20 bottles of water and they come up to you and you're giving away water. They say, may I please have some water? Absolutely. I don't have a second thought about helping you. My mind is not torn as to whether or not I will help you. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. This means without reproach. Without reproach. This means that God does not look down on anyone who comes to him and asks for wisdom. God does not think less of you for lacking wisdom. When you come to God, he says, well, of course you'd ask because you're human. Of course you don't have wisdom. You're human. Of course you need help from me. You're human. I'm not going to look down on you for needing help, and it shall be given him. If you want to simplify this verse, the promise here is that it will be given to him. It will be. If you lack, ask God, and it will be given to you. That's the promise. If you lack, ask God, and it will be given you. Now, let's do observation for the rest of them. That really is the end of that section there, because you see the period. And then he goes into a little bit of a condition. But, conditional here. However, there's something else you need to understand. If you ask, it will be given to you. But, conditional here, he needs to ask, let him ask. Look at this, let him ask. See these connection points here? Same thing, he's drawing a connection. Let him ask God, but let him ask in what way? With faith. This is an introduction to this concept of faith going entirely through the book of James. And then he explains what this faith looks like. But let him ask in faith, what does this faith look like? Nothing wavering. You've got a modern translation, it will say without doubting. This wavering actually is a really good idea of the concept that James is saying here. This word wavering means that you're arguing with yourself. You ever argued with yourself? Maybe I should do this. Maybe not. Where do you want to eat dinner? Oh, well, this is really good, but also this is really good. And if I go here, I get this. And if I go here, I get this. I just can't decide. I keep going back and forth. I'm arguing with myself. Maybe I should do A. Maybe I should do B. And go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's what he's saying here. You're not fully convinced of any one thing. You're wavering back and forth between two options. That's the opposite of faith. Faith is casting yourself into the arms of Jesus. It's being fully convinced that God will do what he says. And so he says, ask in faith, nothing wavering, because, explanation here, because he that wavereth, this is talking about a guy who does not ask in faith, he that wavereth is like, and then he gives an illustration, a wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and tossed. This means someone that's riding up and down the waves. You guys ever been deep sea fishing? How many of you guys been deep sea fishing before? Or been out on a big lake on a boat? All right. Deep sea fishing, or if you're out on a big lake, I'm not talking about like a little pond, I'm talking about a big lake, and the wind comes up, you get what are called swells, which means it just kind of rolls up and down, and then you get, right? Because you get seasick. And I went deep sea fishing with a buddy of mine who had a boat, and we're out on the ocean, and the waves are just, it was 3 to 4 foot waves, which don't sound that big, but man, you're just rocking back and forth, and we're trolling for these fish, and nothing's biting, and so it doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. We're just rocking back and forth. Before you know it, you're like, whoo, right? Because all I'm doing is I'm rocking back and forth. That's what it's saying. The person who is doubting, who doesn't have faith, is just going back and forth and back and forth. The wind is bringing the waves back and forth. And here's our conclusion. 4, let not that man, who's that man talking about? The man who's wavering. Let not that man think. This word think means think, okay? That he shall receive anything for of the Lord. Because remember, who are we asking for the wisdom? We're asking God. So we ask God for wisdom, but if we don't come in faith, we can't expect to receive anything from the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I'm going really fast here. Double-minded means double-souled. It goes with, it actually is a word that a lot of people think that James made up. It's a compound word. It's not found anywhere else in Scripture. It's not found anywhere else in any extra-biblical writings until the early church, and people started to use it. And so a lot of people actually think that James coined a term here, kind of like shema'ing. How are you doing in your shema'ing today? Okay, that would be a word that, you know, it's not going to catch on because it's super weird. But if it did, we could say, hey, we coined that term at Ironwood. Hey, at this week, and then you'll see it's used in language. For us, it's not going to happen. But that's the concept here. Double-souled. This man is torn. He's not convinced, and he's unstable in how many of his ways? What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means, right? All means all. Now, let's talk about the interpretation of this for a minute. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. There's a condition to our getting wisdom, and that is that we have to ask. We have to ask. That's actually a command here. It's a command to ask. Let him ask God. And there's also a command to our asking, and that asking is that we need to ask. Here are the two commands. Let him ask in faith. So here's what James is saying. Hey, if you need wisdom, if you're struggling and you don't know how God's working in your life, ask God. But there's a condition to this. The condition is that you ask in faith. Faith and doubt are opposites. You either have faith or you don't. There's no such thing as having a little bit of faith. You either have faith or you don't. Now, you can have faith in a little object, but you can't have just a little bit of faith. You either have it or you don't. We'll talk about that a little bit later. These waves are talking about in our life, we're rolling to and fro. A lot of people think this talks about rising and crashing, but it's not. It's just talking about being unstable. That person will not receive, there are two absolutes here. He's not going to receive anything of the Lord, and he's unstable in all his ways. So it means that the person who's the doubting not only will not receive wisdom, but if you don't have faith, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Can you have salvation without faith? Yes or no? No, you can't. So if you cannot trust God at all, then you cannot even have salvation. That's what he's saying. If you cannot come to God in faith, then you cannot receive anything from the Lord. And also, the instability of a doubting life, how much does it affect? How much does your instability affect your life? All his ways. It doesn't say, hey, if he doesn't have faith in God, it just affects his wisdom. It says, listen, if you are rising and falling along the seas of life, if you're unstable, you're not just unstable in your Christian life. You're unstable in all your ways. You know what I found? Is that a person who's consistent with their spiritual walk and their devotions is a person who's consistent with a lot of small things in life. Normally, it's somebody who's consistent with taking care of their body and not, you know, not only not doing things like drugs and alcohol and smoking, those other things that would damage their body, but also taking care of their body and not overeating and not having food as something that they would seek comfort in. Normally, if a person is dedicated in their devotions and saying, listen, I'm consistent in spending time with God, that affects so many other things in life. And it goes the other way. Doubting is serving two masters. When you ask in faith, you could say that faith equals total devotion. Total devotion here. When we lack wisdom, we lack seeing trials in their true light. Also understand that our wisdom should only come from God. Only come from God. Now, let's talk about application for a minute. Let's kind of go through these things one at a time. What are some other areas in your life that you are tempted to find wisdom in as a teenager? What are some other areas in your life that rather than asking God for wisdom, you're tempted to maybe ask something else? What are some other areas?
Music.
Music, yeah. You're getting bombarded with all different types of music that are saying, hey, here's what life's all about. Here's what you should do in these scenarios. Here's what you shouldn't do. Here's what you should believe. Yeah, it's really coming at you. And if you remember, if you notice the things that are set to tune, you remember. So be careful what you put in your heart, guys. Yes?
Relationships.
If I were you, I would probably not seek life advice from other teenagers because you'll just pool your ignorance. Believe it or not, at one point, your parents really were your age, and believe it or not, they really do love you, and they really do want what's best for you. And so sometimes, I remember being a teenager, you're tempted to think, man, my parents just don't understand. Well, there may be some aspects to where they don't understand the media age, they don't understand maybe the mindset of teens, but they were once a teenager, and they do understand a lot of the struggles that you're in. Good. Relationships. What else?
TV.
TV. Yeah. You know, guys, TV, and really it's shifted because TV is in this massive shift right now. When I was a kid, and this is going to date me a little bit, but when I was a kid, you had to plan your evenings and your days around what shows you wanted to watch. So if a certain show came on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we had to make sure that we were home Thursday night at 7 o'clock in order to watch it. And if we didn't watch it, we missed it. And it was on. It was over and it was gone, right? And then this thing called TiVo came out, which TiVo is now long gone. And it's been replaced with all sorts of different Sling TV and all sorts of DirecTV Now and all this kind of stuff that recorded your shows so you could watch them at your leisure. And now the majority of shows that come out aren't even coming out to be shown on TV. They're coming out on Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and these other video streaming services. And every single show has an agenda. Every single show. And Disney is not your friend. Disney is not the friend of Christians. For years and years and years, people would get offended when Disney would come out that wasn't from a Christian worldview. And I'm like, listen, guys, Disney is not the friend of the American family. TV, and we could spend a whole, we won't do it, but we could spend a whole lecture, wouldn't even call it a sermon, but a whole lecture on how to approach your viewing habits. Because here are the principles. You ready? What you see does affect you. You can argue with me all day, but the truth is what you see and what you hear does affect you. Because Scripture says that just, righteous, saved Lot vexed his soul with what he saw and what he heard. He tortured his soul. So Scripture says it's a proven fact what you see and what you hear does affect you. And once you see and once you hear something, it cannot be unseen or unheard. There are a lot of things that you can protect yourself from and never see or never listen to. But you know what? Once you see it and once you listen to it, you can't unsee it and you can't unlisten to it. So protect your mind and protect your heart. Have boundaries. Take drastic measures with your phones. If you don't have a filter on your phone, you're stupid. Okay? You are begging for trouble or you're already in trouble and you don't want anybody to know about it. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid like that, guys. Protect your heart. Don't seek advice. Seek counsel from the world. Seek it from Scripture. Seek it from God. Where else are you tempted to seek input? Tim?
Instead of communicating with God regularly, communicating with social media regularly.
Social media. I don't know if you knew this or not, but not everything on Facebook is true. Did you know that? And you guys don't even use Facebook. How many use Facebook? Yeah, you don't even use Facebook that much, really. Instagram? Anybody here on Twitter? It's only for smart people? No, just kidding. 280 characters or less, you got to communicate. TikTok, yeah, China's stealing all your information. What else are you guys using right now? Snapchat? Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah? Everything on there is not true. In fact, almost nothing on there is true. You realize that, right? Almost nothing. Let's put it this way. How many of you show your real self on social media? It just doesn't happen. I mean, you should have seen, okay, so my wife and I were at, we live near Lake Michigan. This has a beach. We call it the beach. It's not really the beach. But we were watching people take pictures of themselves at the beach, and it would take them 10 or 15 minutes to get just the right lighting and just the right angle and just right, and they take it. No, it's not right. Guys, that's not real. That's fake. It's fake. Nothing on social media is real. There are these people who get paid to be influencers, and they get paid to simply live on Instagram. And did you know that after about a year, they hate it? Listen to their interviews. You know why? Because everything they post is fake. I listened to an interview with this lady who gets paid to travel around the world and take pictures of travel destinations. She gets paid by these places to stay there and make the pictures look really good. And she's sitting in this room that's overlooking this valley, and she had to sit there for 6 hours. And take over 100 photos and edit every single one of them to get just the right shot so that when people see her Instagram account, they're going to go, whoa, I want to go there. The problem is, it's fake. That picture is only true for like 30 seconds of the 24 hours of the day. And not only that, it's been edited so much you wouldn't even recognize it. All of social media is fake. All of it. Because people only post what they want you to see. And they only post the best of the best. And they edit it and they filter it. It's all fake, guys. And if you think it's real, you've been lied to and you're buying into it. You're a fool. Seek wisdom from God. There's nothing wrong with using it now and again for entertainment. But if you think it's real, you've been duped. It's not real. In fact, I would get so upset that I am this close to deleting all my social media accounts. Right now, all I have is Facebook and Messenger, because people contact me on Messenger. But I would get so upset, because you just look at some of these pictures and go, people actually believe this junk. And they think it's real, but it's not. That, and people show that they're total idiots on Facebook too when they post about things. And anyway, that's another story. Don't have an opinion on Facebook. Just don't do it. Because one day you will regret it, okay? Take my advice. Don't have an opinion. Let everyone else make idiots of themselves, and you don't have an opinion, because if you do, one day you'll regret it. Okay. Sorry, that's a pet peeve of mine. All right, here we go. Don't get wisdom from social media. Another application. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Because you're human and you're fallible, you need wisdom, so ask God. I'm weak. I need God's wisdom. Now, let's talk about some other applications from you. What are some applications in here that as we're going through, you say, wow, this is true about us. This is true about me. This is what I need to believe. This is what I need to do from this passage. Other application points. I know that's a huge section. Normally we'd work with like a third of this, but in order to finish it up this morning, this is where we're at. Take everything we said, boil it down to the 21st century, in teenage America, Southern California, Nevada, wherever you're from, what does this say about you? Yeah.
I shouldn't take any of the world's word or anything, because you can kind of dig and investigate yourself.
Good, yeah. Dig and investigate for yourself in the Bible. Truth. Oop, wrong color. Don't want to confuse you guys. Truth equals scripture. Good. Truth is scripture. Let's dig down deep. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible is not easy, but it's the most profitable thing you could ever do in your whole life. Good. What else? Yeah.
Self-examination so that you can see your life.
Yeah. I need to be humble enough to be able to look and say, wow, I don't know all the answers. And that takes a lot of humility. That's one of my major areas of pride. Is that I like to do research. I like things that work well, and so I like to, like, for instance, I just bought a car, and so I did 6 months of research as to the most reliable car that's made today on the road and what year it is. And so I ended up buying a 2002 Land Cruiser with 240,000 miles on it. but it's the most reliable vehicle on the road today, right? And so whenever he talks about cars, I have a tendency to get really arrogant and think that I know the best because I've done my research. But the truth is that we all have weaknesses, right? We all have areas in which we look at it and we go, man, I need wisdom from God. I'm not the fourth member of the Trinity, right? I am weak, I'm fallible, I'm young, I made a lot of mistakes, gonna make a whole lot more. And I need wisdom. Yeah, self-examination. Good. Excellent. What else? Yeah. Yeah, and I would even go further than that. He would say wavering can draw your focus away from God. I would say wavering does draw your focus away from God, doesn't it? Because the focus is on myself. When I'm wavering, I'm not focused on God. Good. Wavering draws your attention, doubting, away from God. Good. Good. What else? What are some other application points? Yeah.
I would say that this passage shows that faith is a denial
of instincts. What's that? Okay, faith is a denial of instinct. Okay, I would agree with that, but why don't you expand on that a little bit?
It says instinct would tell you to ask yourself for wisdom, or and nowadays instinct tells you to go to others. And it doesn't, God's suggestions, well, God's commands, they don't seem like wisdom because it's a true paradox.
Good. Okay, so let's ride this horse for a little bit, okay? So he said that faith in God denies your instinct because your instinct will say, look to yourself for wisdom, what is my truth? I'm so glad that's good for you, but that's not right for me, right? And so faith in God would deny that and would say, no, we need to look for Scripture. So what are some issues with teens today that people are looking to themselves for wisdom on and not looking to God? Let's get really practical. What are some big issues with teenagers today?
Violence.
Okay. What type of violence? Who said that? What type of violence? What do you mean? Like violent video games or like racial violence or like what? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, violence, specifically when we look at what's going on in the racial landscape today, of racial violence, what does the Bible say about that? Where do we land on that? We are one, and I'll say this up front, racism has no place in Scripture. And what I mean by that is there's no room for racism in Scripture. The Scripture talks very clearly about racism, and that is that every person is made in the image of God, no matter their race, no matter their color, no matter their language, no matter if they're male or female. They're made in the image of God and should be treated as such. Every single person on both sides. Good. Violence. What else?
When to start dating and who to date.
Ooh, that's a big one, right? When to start dating and who to date. You know what the greatest thing about you guys is for the majority of you? Is that all you guys have to do is listen to your parents. Because if you live in their house, my dad used to always say, you're not an adult until you buy your own underwear. That's how you know you're an adult, right? Because you're out of the house, you're paying for your own bills. If you're not paying rent for your room, if you're not buying your own clothes and buying your own food, then you're a child. The Bible says that you're either a child or an adult. There's no teenagers in Scripture, right? So you need to act like either a child or an adult. You know what? I wish, now that I'm a parent, I wish that I had someone else that could tell me what to do, but I don't. And so in a lot of these areas, submit to your parents, even if you don't like it, because they're going to give an account to God, but you got to have wisdom. Let's say you're going to college. Let's say your parents have left it up to you. Man, who should I date? When should I date? In dating, how far should I go? I got news for you. God never intended you to stop, because that's what marriage is about, right? So you got to ask the right question, not how far can I go, but at what point does God not intend me to stop, right? What else? What are some other issues?
Vaping.
Yeah. Vaping, drinking, smoking. What about marijuana? It's legal now. All of these are real issues. And did you know that the Bible has answers to these issues? Did you know that? And so what I encourage you to do is I encourage you to go back to your local church, because obviously when you leave here, you're going to go back and get highly involved in your local church, right? And you're going to submit to your pastor. You're going to align under the pastors, the elders of your church, and you and your parents, if your parents need wisdom, You're going to go to your pastor and you're going to say, hey, I got a question. What about vaping? What about vaping? Is it sin? Is it wrong? Is it wise? What about smoking? What about drugs? What about alcohol? These are really, really hard issues. They're really real issues, but you know what? Scripture has answers. And your pastor can help you navigate the truths of Scripture to draw out biblical principles. And if you were in my church, I know how I could shepherd you through that. But you know what? These aren't necessarily cut and dry issues. And so you need to go to your pastor and submit to his authority and submit to the church that you're in and look in Scripture to ask these questions. What are some other issues, some other questions?
Identity.
Identity. Gender. Sex and gender. Those are two different things, supposedly, right? Is it okay? How about this? I'm a Christian. I believe there are only two genders, male and female. But the Starbucks that I frequent, because that's definitely godly, is to drink coffee. And so I frequent the Starbucks. And there is a transgender man there who's dressed like a female. And that transgender male wants to be called she because he has a female name. And he's got a button that I'm so glad he's wearing because it says, I'm transgender, let's talk. So you know what I'm going to do? Just started wearing that button when I get back the next time I see him. And he's wearing the button. He doesn't always wear it. I'm going to ask him to do a Bible study because he's opened the door. But here's what I'm struggling with. Do I reference this person as a she in order to build barriers? Or do I reference this person as a he in order to be biblical? Whoa. Now, if you ask any one of these super old sponsors back there who are way older than I am, right? I mean, could you even imagine that question 10 years ago? Could any sponsor even imagine that issue would come up? No, but you know what? God knew it would, and the answer is in Scripture. But it may not be as cut and dry as we want it to be. So you know what we do? We dig into Scripture. We align with the elders, the pastors that God's provided in our church to help us understand how we navigate this world in wisdom. Wisdom. Discernment. And then we step out under the authority of the local church and we operate in an area and we say, God, I don't know what to do, but you've said that if I have faith in you and I ask for this wisdom, you know what you're going to do? You're going to give me this wisdom because you're not even going to think twice about it. And you're going to pour it on. And you're not going to look down on me for needing wisdom because that's how you created me. Yeah, these are really, really tough issues. I will tell you that the issue of gender is not hard from a Christian perspective. It may be hard for you to say, especially if you go to public school, it may be hard for you to stand up for, but it's very clear. God created male and female in his own image. Male and female, he created them, right? And just because you want to be something else doesn't mean that you can. And just because you want something doesn't make it right. I'm in Walmart and the line's really long and people are going really slow. Sometimes I just want to slap somebody. You know? You know why? Because I'm a sinner. I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't make it right. Aisle check, you know, price check, aisle 3. Wah! I'm going to rush people. You know? Why'd you hit me? Well, because I wanted to. Oh. Whoa. I didn't know you wanted to do that. Because if you wanted to do it, everything makes sense. And it's okay. Why are you identifying as a female? Well, because I want to and I feel like that's right. Oh, okay, well, as long as you want to, it's okay, right? Do you know there's a lady in Australia who just married a bridge? Did you know that? No, I'm dead serious. There's a lady in Australia who just legally married a bridge. You know why? You know why? First of all, because people are just insane. Secondly, Because she's an unsaved person who's doing anything she can to try to fill the void in her heart that was created there to be filled by God. And when you read that, you go, what? And then hopefully your heart breaks and hurts for her because she doesn't have access to this. Do you know why? Because there's a void in her heart that God created there that's the shape of God that only God can fill, and she's trying to fill it with all sorts of things. People fill it with animals. They fill it with identifying themselves as all sorts of different things. And you know what? They're not happy. They're not happy. I'll leave you with this one applicational thought. I know we're a little bit over, but I think we'll be okay. Is there a program person in here? Can I have like 3 more minutes? Am I good? Okay. Let's focus on this word real quick, faith. We might talk about this a little bit tonight if we have time in the message, but the same faith that saves you is the same faith that you live by every single day. Now, none of us would say that we can come to God at salvation and be like, okay, God, I'm coming to you for faith and salvation, and I hope it works. Oh, man, I really hope it works. Right? And I'm going to pray. But if it doesn't, it's okay because I got all these good works, right? And I help old ladies across the street every Friday. And I drive for Uber. And I give people free rides once a week. Or, I give money to the church. And so it's good that just in case my faith isn't enough, I got all this other stuff. I got a plan B. And I've even got a plan C that my parents were Christians. And I've got a plan D that my grandfather was a preacher. So I'm coming in faith. But if the faith doesn't work, then I got my works. And if my works don't work, I've got my parents. And my parents don't work, I've got my grandfather. And all of us would say, hopefully, that kind of faith is not a saving faith. All right? That kind of faith is not submitting to Jesus as your king. That kind of faith is not actual faith. You either have faith or you don't. But then after we are saved, let's now fast forward to the life that bows their knee to Christ and says, comes in faith and is regenerated and says, Lord, it's you and you alone who I'm submitting myself to. You secured my eternal destiny. I'm now justified by faith. And then what happens is we live, our emotions cloud our judgment, doesn't it? And we start to stray from that faith. And we start living as though we don't have that faith. We start living as a carnal Christian. And our goal, guys, is to live in that moment and say the faith that saved me is the same faith that I'm living by. And here's a phrase that will help you. If you can trust God for your eternal destiny, you can trust Him for your daily life. It's just that simple. If God is powerful enough to rescue you from hell, if you can trust Him with your eternal destiny, guys, you can trust Him with your daily life, okay? You can trust Him with these daily needs that you have because this faith right here is unconditional from God's perspective. You can thrust yourself in His arms. You can just trust Him and say, you know what? No conditions attached. Just like when I came at salvation, I'm living my life that exact same way. In fact, you could boil it down in a very simple phrase and say part of the Christian life is learning to live in that moment of salvation. It's saying even though I'm moving forward in my Christian life, I need to live in this moment of full surrender. I need to live in this moment at salvation where Jesus had everything. And I need to remember this. I need to live in that moment every day. I rehearse the gospel. So you see phrases in Scripture like, remember the point from which you were fallen. This faith is so key. If you can trust God for your eternal life, you can trust Him for your daily life. If you lack wisdom, we all do. Ask God, who gives to all people without thinking twice. He's not going to reproach you. He's not going to think down on you. And it will be given to you. But you have to ask in faith. Don't rock back and forth, because when you rock back and forth, you're like a wave of the sea that makes you seasick. And that double-minded man is not going to receive anything from God, and it will affect your entire life. So operate by faith. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom to do such. I pray that you'd help us to live in that faith every single day. In your name we pray. Amen. One more thing I did not mention. I don't think I mentioned in the beginning. Counselor Talent Show, did I talk about this yet? Okay. I haven't forgotten about it. Some of you mentioned. The junior high and senior high wanted to make sure they could all see all the counselors. And there wasn't a time other than the evening services that we could do that. Didn't want to do it last night because of the serious nature of the service, tonight's serious as well. But we're actually going to do the Counselor Talent Show before the song service tonight in the evening service. Be here on time. Have your counselor prepared to show off their talent. And we're going to take about 10 minutes at the beginning of the service tonight when all the sponsors are here and have a Counselor Talent Show. Okay? We'll see you then. Get out of here.